Welcome to the Somebody Died For You podcast. My name is Corey Peters. Several years ago, I believe that God, through His Holy Spirit, called me to intentionally impact darkness in my community with the love and light of Jesus Christ. This podcast will share stories of my encounters over the last several years as I attempt to step out of my comfort zone and follow God into high need areas. I'm a husband, father, teacher, and a coach who loves Jesus. I believe He wanted to challenge me with the high cost of Jesus' shed blood on the cross. What was I doing with it? At the beginning and end of this podcast, I'll include a phone number, and I'd like you to call and leave a message of a prayer request, praise report, and or specifically a place in your community where you would like us and our listeners to lift up in prayer. If you listened last week, you heard Mark Hinkle share a prayer request, and if you haven't heard that, I'd suggest you do. He's a great friend who works to impact hearts in the Roseland neighborhood of South Chicago. God has used him in mighty ways. If you didn't hear that prayer request, I suggest you do. Check it out. Our number is 319-435-1758. When you call, it'll go immediately into a message from me giving you details how to leave your prayer request. We are better together. And I believe that God is just waiting to positively impact our communities with the same love that propelled Him to send Jesus over 2,000 years ago. This week, I'll share one of the most amazing and personal stories to date. It was perhaps one of our biggest battlegrounds. And as I share these stories, just always know that there's a team around me. I've got people that have gone with me from the first day. I've got wife and family and a church that support me. And so I know as God starts leading you to impact areas, I know He's going to give you a great team also. The journal entry I'm reading was updated just a little bit, but I wanted to leave it mostly intact. It was written in March of 2012. I believe there might be a thing or two that I would change now, but the words are just so fresh and passionate from a guy who'd witnessed God move in a very powerful way, ways in which I couldn't have imagined, and ways that have forever changed my life. This real-life account will be called the Demonic Building. God, through His Holy Spirit, led us to a building that was infested with demonic activity. I believe it housed a demonic principality. I also believe it was a cornerstone of much of the darkness that plagued this neighborhood. Our local police department told us that they would get multiple calls every single day for this place. Unspeakable criminal activity led people to label some of the perpetrators who live there as animals. Last November, our prayer walk started. I felt the Lord sharing with me that we're not there to just pray for people only. We're there to change spiritual atmosphere. Ephesians 6:12, King James Version. For we are not to wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So here it goes. Our first neighborhoods that we were walking in and praying in were Cutler, Reed, and Logan Streets in Waterloo. After we spent every Thursday in November and December in those neighborhoods, we felt like God was drawing us out of that area. I came to church in the next week with a specific place in mind on the west side of Waterloo. It was a row of townhomes with multiple colors of doors. We drove there at the end of our night to pray around the neighborhood. We parked the car and walked around the block. We felt we were there just to pray for the spiritual climate to be cultivated, for people to receive love and God's word. We walked in front of the apartment. It's a big building on 2nd Street and Allen in Waterloo. I've come to know it as the Carter's Building, but back then I didn't know what the name was. To me, it looked like an old school that was remodeled into an apartment building. But it had a deep, deep, dark feeling when we walked around it. While we were walking around it, God gave me my first picture. It was a picture of the hand of God, I believe, rising up into the sky. I believe God had His index finger stretched forward towards dark clouds. His finger was pointed, and then it started spinning very fast. As His finger was spinning, the dark clouds started parting, and the sky revealed a shining bright blue sky with the sun shining in the background. It was a beautiful picture. But this was at night, and this picture just kept coming kept coming to my mind. I would say that happened probably two or three times that night at least. During my morning prayer and reading time, I felt the Lord tell me not to go in the apartment building. This was very odd for me at the time. Almost every place that we had gone to up to this point could be labeled as pretty dangerous. Every night we had people ask us if we were dumb, crazy, or just stupid to be in that neighborhood at night. One lady asked if we know what color we are. Once again, it was pretty new for me to hear the leading of God in so many ways. I've heard different things on occasion, but at that time it was almost daily. So to hear me not to go into a particular place was something I'd never heard before. I also believe the Holy Spirit was asking me to contact our sheriff and the Waterloo Police Department. I thought they would think I would need to be locked up. I sent them both an email that talked about who I was and why I believe God was sending us to walk by this building. To my surprise, they both asked to meet me. We set up a meeting and both were very gracious. They were happy that we were trying to help out, do our part, and shine a light into a very dark place. The police chief set up a meeting with myself and the officer who was in charge of that area, in particular that building. We prayed together before I left. When I met with the other officer, he was happy we were there, but a little nervous for our safety. He said that he receives multiple calls every single day. He said that other people might say the people live like animals in there. He also said that he believes it might be the cornerstone of most of the drug activity and violence plaguing that neighborhood. We prayed together, and he told me to let him know if we need anything from him. So we went to the church to meet before the next time out, and I mentioned to our team that I don't think I should go inside the apartment. I also asked if anyone else heard this, you know, in their prayer time. They hadn't, which made me question whether it was from God or whether it was from the enemy trying to keep me from going into that apartment. One night after we finished praying early, we started driving, trying to find another place to hit quick before we ended the night. We pulled up to the apartment, and I said, you know, if no one else heard it, why don't we just go in? I wasn't really sure if that was the Holy Spirit's telling me or Holy Spirit telling me not to go in or not. I thought it would have been weird for God to say, don't go inside and shine a light and serve his people. So we went inside. I was really nervous. I haven't been that nervous before, but something just wasn't quite right. We knocked on the first door and met a lady who we had met earlier outside. And she's a great lady, has a real loud personality. She loves us. She calls us church people. But she gives us hugs, and we had groceries, and she was happy that we were there. When we met her the first time, she told us to come to that place and get those damn demons out of there. We didn't know where she lived, but we were happy that was the first door. The next door we knocked on was answered with a little girl. She was about three. She had beautiful, dark, curly hair, and she had the most wonderful smile. But behind her came her mom, and her mom was very pregnant and was obviously high on drugs. Her apartment looked really bad. It was in bad shape. We were able to pray with them. The mom was happy that we dropped off groceries for much needed for her and her kids. But it was really, really sad seeing what was happening inside that apartment. Just then, I had that uneasy feeling just kind of started spreading throughout my whole body. I felt like it was burning a little bit. I'm starting to realize that maybe it was his voice and maybe I really shouldn't be in there. We walked down the hall and knocked on another door. A guy answered who was short, extremely thin, and he was probably in his 50s. He had a real quirky personality and looked like he had been living a pretty tough life. He said that he didn't appreciate people like us coming around, but in the next minute he would start a new subject. That went back and forth for a while. One minute he was acting offended that we were there, and then the other minute he was talking to us like we were a much-needed friend. He talked and he talked. He said this place was very dark and full of trouble. He stated that when you go looking for trouble, sometimes you find it, and you can't get out. We started to ask him about his neighbor when he interrupted and said emphatically, "You don't want to knock on that door." Just then I heard some people coming down the stairs. It was two African-American men with big coats on. They both turned around and looked at me. Waterloo has been called Little Chicago as a nickname for different times. Some of the gang or drug activity can be traced back to Chicago. To me, and I don't know for sure, but that's what these men looked like. I hadn't seen them before. But anyway, as they came down the stairs, our eyes locked, and the hair on the back of my neck shot up. They looked at me with a darkness that I had never felt before. That was the only time where I really thought my life was in serious danger. They paused at the bottom of the staircase, just staring at me. They were about 20 feet away. All three of us were staring at each other. It felt like an hour. My body was burning with conviction that it was, in fact, God's voice, and I needed to get out of there immediately, if I still could. The two men, ever so slowly, just turned their head and looked towards the door and started walking. It was like slow motion. Both of them turned around very slowly and started walking towards the end of the hallway to the exit door. The other man, who I don't think ever stopped talking, as I turned my head, it's kind of like his voice kind of started tuning in where it wasn't before. He kept talking about his neighbor. He said, "My neighbor doesn't want to be bothered. And when someone bothers a person who doesn't want to be bothered, that's when you get into trouble. And sometimes the trouble is so big you can't get out." Some of our group wanted to keep going and knock on the neighbor's door. Personally, I was ready to run as fast as I could right out the door and get into my car. He closed the door, and our group asked if we should go to that apartment. I finally answered. I said, "I'm out of here. I know it was the Lord's voice now, and I need to just leave. You guys don't have to, but I know I do." As a group, we decided to leave together. My body was on fire. I felt like I really disobeyed God. It almost brought me to tears. As we started this, I've had many people question my reasoning to go out into these neighborhoods. They say, "You have a beautiful wife and two beautiful children. Why are you doing this?" I said that I would always listen to the Lord and go where He was guiding me. I didn't do that night. I felt it all weekend. I did a lot of soul searching that night. I asked for forgiveness and vowed not to do this again. I said that I would only go when God tells me to go, and that we would not go if He asked me to stop. During the next few weeks, I felt like God was prodding me to go and sing, if you can believe that. I couldn't at the time, in front of the apartment. Talk about weird. I like music, but I don't like to sing in front of people. And people probably don't like to hear me sing. I've had many people in my family who are wonderful singers, but it's not for me. I brought it up a few weeks in a row to the guys, but no one really had anything to say. During the next couple of weeks, I kept hearing and seeing a picture of us in front of the building almost daily, singing, gathered in a circle. When I showed up for our Thursday night prayer the next week, I said, "Hey guys, we need to go and sing." I told them about the picture that I saw and that I was looking at the apartment in my mind, and God gave me a vision. I saw darkness around it. I saw little demons flying over the top of the building. I saw us surrounded in a circle by a light pole, singing praises to God. And those praises were driving out those demons. Those demons were fleeing. A member of our group said, "Did we tell you about last week?" I was sick that last week and wasn't able to go with the team. They said they went back to the apartment building and started going upstairs. They said they also knocked on the door, who the man said not to knock on it, and they said it went fine. As they started going up the stairs, they began to feel real heavy darkness. When they were walking on the top floor, they heard some people say, "Come, please pray for us." Then the people started laughing. They saw demonic writings and symbols on the wall. They knocked on the door and a lady answered. It was a female couple living in the apartment with another person who was transgender. They were raising a child together. The couple told our group that they have a demon living inside their apartment. The demon terrorizes them at night. It wakes them up, and many times they can't sleep. They said it also follows them wherever they go. They said it lives in this closet, pointing to the closet. They won't even open the door to it. They won't even put any clothes or any shoes inside. It's completely empty. They're afraid. I would bring up singing outside of the apartment building up to our group. Part of me was hoping they wouldn't want to do it because I was scared. I have a tendency to cling tightly to my comfort zone. It was winter and all of us were in our cold weather gear. This singing thing was eating me up at me all week. I opened the door to the church and said, "Okay, guys, I have to get off of this off of my chest. We need to sing in front of this apartment building tonight. I don't care if I'm the only one singing in our group." Inside, I was hoping I wasn't. Somebody else would sing with me. But I need to get it done. One of our group members, Reggie, looked at me and he said, "Well, Corey, that's why I wear the stocking hat over my head. So if you ask me to do something like this, I can pull it down over my face." And he said that with a huge grin. I laughed. I needed to laugh. We drove to the apartment building. Reggie was driving, and he asked where I would like to sing. And I said, "I believe I saw the telephone pole in front of my picture." We pulled up, we got out, we circled by the pole. We all looked at each other, and they asked what song we should sing. I said the only song that I'd been singing all day was one by, it was called Holy by Brenton Brown. The one that goes, "Holy, holy, God Almighty, who was and is to come." Now you know why I didn't want to sing. I haven't sung that song in a while, but that day, all of a sudden, I'm singing it. All day, I can't get it out of my head. So we circled it up. I wasn't even sure of all the words, but we started singing. It was really awkward. Before I share what happened, I wanted to back up and give you some background. Over the last 14 years, I've been a teacher. And as a teacher, you definitely connect with kids, some more than others. One student in particular who I would say was extremely neglected. He was a nice kid who had a kind of a temper problem. And when he was mad, his mouth really flew with expletives. School would have him shower every morning because his clothes would stink so bad from his living environment. We couldn't let him take the clothes home that we gave him at school because they'd stink again. They'd be ruined. Since I'm a PE teacher, my office is in the locker room. We talked a lot. I wished on many occasions that I could bring this young man home with me, or I could share with him about Jesus, give him some hope, the hope that saved me as a teenager. And he had left, you know, when he was done in ninth grade, and I just wondered how he's doing for quite a few years. Did he have a job? Was he married? Did he drop out of school? Was he in jail? Had all those questions I often prayed about, you know, what happens if I would see him, or, you know, prayed that God would lead him to some Christians that could share about the light of Jesus Christ. So we all gathered up to sing. And we started singing, I won't sing again for you, but anyway, you know, Holy by Brenton Brown. As we started singing, this student who I was talking about stuck his head up to the second floor window. I couldn't believe it. This in itself was a major miracle for me. What are the chances? I immediately stopped singing. Inside, I wanted to run full speed into the building, but I remembered my promise to God. But now what would I do? I was stuck. I don't know if he saw me or not. What if he didn't? What if he did? Hey, that's my PE teacher singing outside my apartment building. Didn't know what to think, but it was tearing me up inside. Just then, the front door of the building opened, and the student came out. I left the group immediately and ran over to the building. We hugged each other so tight. Then we kind of looked around and stepped back like, did we just hug each other like that? We sat down on the steps and I was able to share the good news of the gospel with him, how Jesus loves him and how he died for him. I shared about my experience as a young boy feeling rejected and how I started reading the Bible one verse every night. I'm happy to say that this young man accepted Jesus right on those stairs. It was such a thrill share with them how to accept Jesus as a Savior. And if you've never done that, you just simply open your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus died for you. And you say, I accept it. As I was talking with him on the steps of the apartment building, the rest of the guys were singing that song about 30 feet away. And I heard something. I'm going to do my best to explain what I heard, but really there's no explaining it. I heard screams. As a teacher, I've heard many screams. As a college football player and a coach, I've heard many screams. Injuries, fans, excitement, hate, everything. But this scream wasn't human. I didn't know at the time whether it was just audible to me or the whole group. Something inside the building was being tormented by the praises outside. It was a blood-curdling scream. It was like something was being burned when we sang. It was such a high-pitched, but yet gravelly and coarse scream. It wasn't human. If it was a human, you know, if somebody yells at you, there's kind of a fluctuation with a voice. It might start quiet, then it builds and goes back down, kind of like, hey, shut up, or stop it, and then it'll stop. This wasn't doing that. It was either all the way on, all the way off. It was screaming, ah, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it, ah. It was coming from the top floor in the middle of this building. I couldn't believe how loud it must have been on the inside for me to hear it on the outside of this building. I heard it so clear. But there was something else that was really interesting that I noticed. Every word that was sung, it was screaming. Once even a word stopped, it stopped. Like I said, it was either 100% on or 100% off. It wasn't like someone was telling us to shut up or stop singing. Something was being tortured by our praises. As I was sitting there listening to that, the young man I was sharing Jesus to, he kind of stopped too, but I didn't have the guts to ask him if he's hearing what I'm hearing. But our group was singing, and I looked at him, and I said, sing it again. And they turned around, and they said, huh? I said, sing it again. I'm just pointing, I'm yelling. They're probably 20, 30 feet away. They shrugged their shoulders, turned around, and started singing again. And that demon started screaming again. When they finished the second time, the young man stood up, he gave me a hug, and he asked me if I could come up to his apartment. I said, I'm sorry, I can't. He just had a baby a month earlier. He said, I'll go up and grab my fiance and our baby. I got to hold the baby. I got to pray with them. We were able to give them some groceries. Chad and Jeff went up to help carry the groceries up to their apartment. Chad said when they came down, there were demonic writings in the hallways of the apartment. When we left, I remember saying that I felt like it was kind of a headquarters of spiritual darkness in this community and possibly even the city. When we entered the van after the evening, my eyes were huge. I turned around. I said, did you guys hear that? They looked at me and said, hear what? I told them what I heard and how loud it was. They said they couldn't hear it. I wasn't sure if it was just a distance or maybe God opened that up for me to hear what was spiritually happening with our praises. After that night, the Lord led us step by step to spiritually clean out that building. I believe that during my prayer time that he shared with me that the last step would be a big event where churches and people would come together on the corner where that building is located to worship him and praise him. And not until that happens could I go in. Our first step that he gave us was to pray around the building and the neighborhood. We just set up a schedule of people to drive through and pray. Some people would come in, we wanted prayer daily. Some people would come during the morning, some people would come after work, some people would just drive through, some people would walk. But every day there was prayer happening and praise around that building. God also led us to a church in that area. Lots of stories about that I won't be able to get into, but in this church there was a woman who was a minister. She wasn't the head pastor, but she has a title. But she asked us where we'd been praying, and I told her that it was on the building of 2nd and Allen. Immediately, she knew where it was. Tears started running down her face, and she whispered, "The Carter's Building." She stated that she lived there for a while. She said that there were unspeakable things that happened inside that building, and that she always believed there was a dark cloud sitting over that place. She was so happy we were there bringing the light of Jesus Christ. On another occasion, while I was driving by and praying, about 2 blocks from the building, I saw a woman walking in very nice clothes. She had a white expensive name brand jacket on, black jeans, and black expensive boots. When I saw her, I just slowed down. Just something didn't click. She looked over at me and glared at me. I looked at her. Right away, I knew that we were on opposite teams. She stood out. I thought, there's no way she lives in that neighborhood. To my shock, I saw her go, insert her key into the Carter's Building, and go in. I haven't seen her before or since, but I know that she was extremely involved in the spiritual dark climate of that building. Several weeks later, a local pastor called me. He said a traveling minister is coming through town, and he wanted to hold an event in a neighborhood in Waterloo that's struggling. He said, I wanted to have it in a particular apartment building, but that fell through. I thought you might have an idea where we could hold this event. My heart jumped. I said, I absolutely do have an idea of a place. He asked me if I could come and pray with him, and we did. And when he stood up, he said, it's evident that God wants it in this place. The event was held outside the Carter's Building, just like the Lord showed me. There were worship, prayer, many churches coming together, people just blessing one another. The police even shut down the streets all around it. It was amazing. I would talk to the people from the neighborhood, and they would just shake their head, and they would say they can't believe something so good was happening right there. I also remember talking to the officer who was in charge of the neighborhood the next year in March. He saw me and he smiled. We walked over, we shook hands, we gave each other a hug. I asked him how the Carter's Building is doing. A year earlier, he was telling me that he had multiple calls there every day. He smiled, looked up in the air, kind of searching, and then he said with a huge grin, I don't think I've been there for a call yet this year. Like I said, it was March. What a turnaround. I believe God has a blueprint to take back any neighborhood anywhere. All he needs are willing bodies who will try their best to listen, even if you mess up like me. I think many people, including me, we hear of a crime being committed in our community, tend to drive around the neighborhood or even shut the doors. I'm convinced more than ever that staying away isn't the answer. I'm convinced that if we start on our knees and then go where and when he says go, that our neighborhoods can be brought back for his glory. I've heard it said that instead of cursing the darkness, we should light a candle. Dear Papa, thank you for every ear who's listening to this podcast. Show yourself to them just like you did me. If they're struggling with darkness themselves, we break that chain in Jesus' name. If they have dark strongholds in their community, I pray that you lead them and surround them with a great team like you've given me. Thank you for your love, for all people will be made known through their actions. And if they don't know you, Jesus, and haven't accepted you, we just thank you that they just right now tell you that they accept you as their Lord and Savior. And I'd love to email and pray with you about it. Feel free to call our number. Please listen to this week's prayer request, and please call our number to share your response to that prayer or your own request. Also, please like, share, and subscribe to Somebody Died For You podcast. Remember, our number is 319-435-1758. See you next time on Somebody Died For You podcast.
Hey guys, this is Brian from Boise. Want to call in and have a prayer request. We're from Boise, Idaho, the home of the blue turf. And we've been praying for the love of God just invade what was referred to as the north end of Boise, Idaho. It's the older, more Victorian home, classic place that's kind of full of hipsters and young folks, and kind of known for a lot of drug abuse and drug trade, and alternative lifestyles and those type of things. And, you know, it needs the love of God like nobody's business. And we're just praying for God to break through, that there'd be a thin place there, and that folks that don't see or look a little different or seem, don't have necessarily a conservative Christian view, will just be able to receive love and be loved. And we'd turn the heads with loving those folks. So we'll be praying for that. Love you guys. Love this community. And keep going. Love you.